Good morning.
Good morning.
Today is a wonderful day to be alive on this earth. Because we have a purpose to live for. So, before we launch into the Word of God, I'd like to offer up a prayer. I consider that a privilege to English as a second language, so I can bother the Holy Spirit. So it's a wonderful advantage to ask the God, the Holy Spirit, who knows all the languages, to depend on Him. It's humbling, it's wonderful, so I want to do that. So let's pray. Father, without You, we are nothing. Thank You for Your Son, who made the way for us to approach You with boldness, with gratitude, with attitude that remind us what You have done and who You are, and what You call us and want us to do on this earth. And we can not do anything without the power of the Holy Spirit that is in us, around us, lead us and guide us. So Father, it's a great responsibility to stand before these wonderful souls that You pay the price. May Your Spirit bless each person, and may Your name be magnified. Use Your servant for Your glory and to the encouragement of the body of Christ to continue to march forward with the flag that called our wonderful victory. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Jesus. And let's do it, Holy Spirit. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Wow, what a wonderful theme. 2 Timothy. Last night I was studying, thinking, because I had a great perspective after going with Pastor Gene into land of Israel. It changed my perspective. Anytime I approach any man, woman, book, Psalms, Proverbs, in the Bible, now I got this idea. It's not just, you know, look at as a figure of speech, but as a person. And they are well and live according to Hebrews chapter 12, that we are surrounded by the witnesses, the cloud of witnesses. And they are all here. So whenever we open the Bible, Bible is the only book in the entire universe. Whenever it's being opened, its author is always present. So last night I was thinking, what was going on in the mind of Paul when he's sitting in that cell, pondering, pinning down, what was in his heart to tell his beloved son that he want him to go further. Just like, you know, picturing I'm in Pakistan and I have some struggles going on and I share with Gene and then he's, you know, praying thousands of miles away and saying, you know, what should I say? What can I, you know, lift him up? I remember when I was, you know, going through some struggles, recent trip in Pakistan, when this magic man, black witchcraft doctor, put a spell on me and says, first thing, you're not going to return back to USA. Secondly, I'm going to destroy your ministry. Thirdly, there will be a lot of demonic activities in your home. And then fourth one, you will get sick. So I heard that. And all of a sudden, all those things that he spoken start happening. It was like a chaotic. And I share with Brother Gene, I say, you know, this is going on. And that was the battle. And I remember he was praying, just like we are going to see here, Paul is praying. So, battles are real. So I was just last night thinking, he's sitting in the cell, alone, thinking, pondering, my beloved son is going through some, a wonderful end time struggles. What he's going to see, what he already, Paul, have experienced. So he is writing in the perspective that he already experienced, and he wanna share ahead of time with him. So that's why we are going to launch into this wonderful letter that was written by Paul while he was in prison. So I wanna, you know, open up with a small summary. So before we do that, actually I think I have a lot to say, but I want to just keep focus on what God, the Holy Spirit, want me to say. So I was looking at the theme of this book. It's a beautiful theme. Its theme is just a beautiful. We will launch into, and it's just not a coincidence. It's not an accident when Paul was writing. Four chapters and four wonderful things. A person's that he's sharing with his beloved son, Timothy. So, before we do that, I look at the book of, you know, the second epistles of Timothy. It is a preparation for ministry in the last day, or we can call perilous time. It is a great reminder to Timothy, because he already has spent time with Paul in two different journeys. He know, he have picked Paul's brain. He have, you know, walked with him, pray with him, saw things, carry things for him, going in different places. So this is, to me, it is a beautiful reminder before Paul exit this earth. If before, you know, the things, the trouble hit the fan, Timothy is being prepared. So let's launch into. It is just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful word of God. So I'm going to just start with the theme passage. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. I look at this passage, it's the summary of the whole letter. Because there's a four theme that jump out. First one is timidity. Second one is power, love, and discipline. So when I look at, it's just a beautiful that God just revealed to me. The spirit of timidity is a reminder for the child of God not to fear but delight in the divine welfare. The first chapter, it is a divine welfare for Timothy. He is reminding him the provision that is available in a heavenly storeroom for him. Welfare, everybody like it. Everybody like it, because most of time people don't have to work for that, because it is available to depend on the account of others. So Timothy is being reminded. The first chapter, it is the divine welfare that is available not only for Timothy but every single child of God. The second chapter, I look at timidity, you know, the face of timidity, you need encouragement. So encouragement comes from some resources that is available that I can depend on. So the divine welfare for the child of God available. But of power, the second theme jumps off. The believer in Christ that trust in the power of Holy Spirit to have a spiritual awareness. And that is the chapter 2. I looked at it as a big picture. Chapter 2 is a spiritual awareness. And we will launch into how Paul is explaining that he need to be aware. Because Timothy was a very good disciple. In Philippians chapter 2 verse 20 and 22, Paul already have proclaimed to the church of Philippi. He says, I have counted many other, but I did not find any like Timothy, who is so much considering your welfare. He is my handyman who will come. So the welfare, he was a very good at it. And then in chapter 2, we look at it, the spiritual awareness. And he gives at least 8 different descriptions of a Christian man or woman. We will look that into 2. And then the third one is a love. I looked at it this way. The disciple of Jesus Christ that can rest on the prophetic word for the spiritual warfare. Because this whole chapter 3 is all about the spiritual warfare and the apostasy and the deception and the life that people are going to live. They will be lover of money. So he's already putting in a divine way that I want to give you to remind you the spirit of love. It's a prophetic words already given to Timothy to look ahead of him, because chapter 3 is all about, you know, in the last time, in the last days, what will happen. People will be the lover of money and self and everything. So he just go on and explain. So that's what I look at the chapter 3 is to rest on the prophetic word that was pinned on by Paul. To let him know, to alert him, to have knowledge of the what things are coming. So he's telling him, you need to remember the welfare and also to be aware. And then the third thing, be ready for the warfare. We are all in war. And that is a spiritual war. So that's the chapter 3 and the letter, word, love come into display. And number 4 is a spirit of discipline. This is, I looked at it as a sincere servant that is committed his life as a shepherd, as a leader, as a deacon, as a simple follower to his, you know, duties. So it is like, you know, shepherd to his sheep care. And that is chapter 4. He's preparing him. After the warfare, you need to be on guard. Preach the word, live the word, exhort the word, and do not give up. Be ready in season or season always. So these are the 4 things that the Spirit of God just, you know, revealed to me. We need to remember, as Paul is reminding Timothy, our welfare comes from Almighty God. Paul talk about Ephesians 1:3, you know, he says, you know, I bless the Heavenly Father and Father of Lord Jesus Christ who have blessed us in the heavenlies, in our bank account, the portfolio of God's wonderful divine power. That is our welfare. And when God gave us a rocky road, he also provided a rocky shoes. When God gave us a, you know, a thorn to wear, he provided the courage to fear, face the fear. So the welfare we need to remember, the awareness we need to remember, because we are living in a dark age and the warfare is going to be going on, whether we are participating or not. And then sheep care. Sheep care, that was the question Jesus was asking 3 times. Peter, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, I love you. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Feed my lamb. Take care of my, you know, flock. And that is the sheep care. So these are the 4 things that Lord opened my eyes to see in this book. Delight, rest. Delight, trust, rest, and commit. And that is the welfare, awareness, and warfare and the sheep care. So now we can go into the book and talk about the first chapter. Paul is talking about reminding the courageous enthusiasm. A courageous enthusiasm, chapter 1, verse, first 7 verses. He's reminding him the welfare of God available, that he is not going to lose this battle. He's calling. He's reminding. Actually, this word, I remind you 4 times. 2 times. 2 times he says, in verse 6, he says, you know, for this reason, I remind you the kindle, fresh, the gift of God that is in you through the laying of my hands. Doug was talking about that. So he remind 2 times him, first here and the later on he's reminding him in chapter 2, verse 2, verse 4. He's 14. 2 chapter verse 14, he's reminding him. He said, I remind you, you remind them. So it's a good reminder. So he's starting, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus. So we go, before we go further, there is a seven descriptions are given in this letter. And Paul used seven times in Christ. First, he's used in chapter 1, verse 1. He says, in Christ there is a promise of life. That's the chapter 1. And then he's used again in chapter 1, verse 9. God promise and grace given to us in Christ before the world. That's chapter 1, verse 9. Faith and love in Christ. That's chapter 1, verse 13. And then he goes on and he said, grace that supply strength in Christ. Chapter 2, verse 1. Endure all things for the salvation of others in Christ. Chapter 2, verse 10. Suffer persecution for godly living in Christ. That's chapter 3, verse 12. And salvation is by faith. By faith through grace alone in Christ alone. That's chapter 3, verse 15. So he gave, Paul gave in this book, used this expression in Christ seven times. And I find very interested in this chapter only, 83 verses, 4 chapter, and Paul used richly this identification connection with Christ. And third world country, and even here, having related to someone, it is a beautiful thing. We will be, a lot of people will say, I like to be, a friend of, Donald Trump. He's a table talker. And I can, throw that term anywhere. Hey, I'm a friend of Donald Trump because he's the president. So identification and connection is very important. I found a proudly and, honorable. When I say, people say, hey, do you know Gene Cunningham? Yeah, I know him. Connection is beautiful. So this is what Paul is making, seven connection expression in Christ. And they're all related to eternal life, to grace, to the world, to faith, love, and supply, and endure all these things for Christ's sake. So these are the seven descriptions that are given in this beautiful, letter. So I want to go back into and talk about Paul saying, the promise in Christ Jesus. So seven times Paul used that. And verse 2, he says to Timothy, my beloved son. Paul used that term very often. But only for Timothy he used this term, my beloved son. In the first epistle, Paul used that as a my genuine son. And from genuine son, it goes to my beloved son. Paul have a wonderful insight using words. He's using this word is only for Timothy. He had many friends, many disciples, many missionaries that worked with him, went with him, and did things for him, and continued to carrying the message, carrying the purse of the money, and going many, many different ways. But he used specifically for Timothy, my beloved son, because we can see his father was Greek and his mother was, both of them are faithful servants and believer in Almighty God. He mentioned in verse 5 that I'm mindful of, of the sincere faith within you. And that is the cause of, someone was dedicated. And that is, his mother Louis and Eunice. Both of them were dedicated. They did as ought to do to train up a child the way he should or she should go. So anyways, Paul is reminding him. He said, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace. A wonderful thing I find in that one, because God's grace is inexhaustible. His peace is undefinable. And his mercy is unrunnable or unexpressible. Yeah, I'm just making up. God, the Holy Spirit working. Actually, it goes like that. God's grace is immeasurable. His mercy is inexhaustible. His peace is unexpressible. His power is incomparable. His forgiveness is incomparable. His compassion is undefinable. His holy name is incredible. His promise, trustable. His words, uncorruptible. His presence, approachable. He is a king who loves to see his children in his presence. His righteousness, unquestionable. His prophecies, unbreakable. That's what Paul is teaching him. The time is coming. Be prepared. Remember your welfare. Remember to be aware. Remember there's a warfare. And be ready for the shepherd sheep care. We ought to smell like a shepherd. Our shepherd is wonderful. So anyways, his prophecies are unbreakable. His hand is dependable. His character is exemplable. His deeds are praiseable. His judgments are reasonable. His throne is reachable. His teachings are profitable. His plan is unchangeable. His spirit is incredible. His callings are unchangeable. His gifts are identifiable. You can identify. He's a deacon. He's a pastor. He's a preacher. He's a teacher. He's a, you know, a fragrance of Christ. Or he is a borak of Christ. Blessing a person. So, his history, remarkable. If we look at the history of God. His hope, debatable. We debate the hope that is in us through Christ. His son, sacrifice is indisputable. His faithfulness, undeniable. His work, shareable. His person, forgettable, unforgettable. His voice, so comfortable. His counseling, delightable. His eternal gift, accessible and available for all nations. Just simple faith in Christ. Anyways, that was the thing going on. You know, Paul says to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from the Father, God Father, and Lord Jesus Christ. So grace, mercy, and peace. Remember, His grace is immeasurable. We cannot measure. They have figured out the way to the weight and the water and the depth of the biggest sea on this planet. But nobody have concluded God's grace, because it is immeasurable. You cannot measure Him. He's so wild. He's so big. He's so rich. He's so awesome. He's so great. His mercy is inexhaustible. 4x4 truck, John Deere truck will be, their engine will burn out. Any machinery isn't built by any genius will burn out. But His mercy, it is inexhaustible. We get exhaust. He never. Psalms 121 says, you know, He never slumber, He never sleep. He always watch over even when we go in and out. We sleep. We need it. After having, you know, wonderful muffins and egg roll and everything, His peace is inexpressible. There's so many things in God's characters we cannot express. We can express our madness, our sadness, our attitude, our gratitude, but His peace is only experienced in the heart and the mind of soul that is depending on. So anyways, I'm losing a trail just like my teacher sometime. That's a wonderful compliment. I'm so honored to be in His presence. And that's a wonderful. I had a couple of teachers in Pakistan who were teaching me some things I'm not going to discuss because they are undiscussable. And they never let me stand. They never let me stand, never encourage. They always in their mind that they are master and they want to just, you know, do the things and train the things they want to do. And I'm glad they're out of my life and I'm out of their life. But with Pastor Gene, go back 10 years, now I can even I speak and make sense a little bit. Then I don't know how people put up with me. He let me stand. Encourage me, just like Timothy is being encouraged by Paul. So that's a wonderful thing to know. There's not too many people like that who are grace-oriented. A lot of people are just, you know, whatever they are, however they're wired. I was wired differently. Then I went to see a wonderful maker. He wired me differently. I was dedicated to so many demons and idols and all kind of things. But when I see that physician, his name is Jesus, by the way, he wired me differently. He take my foolishness, my enthusiasm, my all nerves and everything to use for his glory. So, which is good. So Paul is exhorting, reminding him that every heart without Christ is a mission field. Be ready. And I want to remind us too, every heart without Christ is a mission field. And every heart that is with Christ is a missionary. You don't need a license from, you know, John Deere Tractor Company to be a missionary. You got that from Jesus Christ. So let's go on. So he said, I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience that the way my forefather did, I constantly remember you in my prayer day and night. Paul is a man of his word. And I was looking at this word and it just gave me a wonderful picture. Like last night I was thinking and praying, he's sitting in his cell and what is going on? How his all human fabric is longing to see his beloved son. But he know he's not going to get out. The Spirit of God probably already have, you know, remind him. You have won your race. That's why he's going to write in chapter 2. So when I was thinking he's constantly praying, it reminded me. Chapter 5, verse 8 in the book of Revelation. There's a four live beast and 24 elders. They have a harp and gold, but they are holding something precious in their hands. The bowls of incense. And I start questioning myself, what is in my bowl? What is in my cup? Is my bowl is precious in the hands of those who are standing before the Lamb of God? Because Paul's bowl was full. And it's the idea of the incense. Psalmists talk about Psalms 140, verse 2, he said, may my prayer be considered as an incense before you as the sacrifice of the evening. And God revealed this new thing. God not only hears our prayer, he's not only looking at our prayer, he's not only answering our prayer. Actually, God have a nose. He smells our prayer. According to Psalms. According to Revelation 5:8, the incense of that bowl is a full. Actually, those are the prayers of the saints. There's a three, four kind of bowls or cups described in the Bible. Jesus told the Pharisees in chapter 23, Matthew, he said, you know, you are those cups who are just clean from outside and inside. It's the, you know, wishes, dead body's bones. That's the one kind of cup. He said, you clean outside, but not clean inside. There's another kind, empty cup. And then David talked about my cup overflow. And I think they are talking about, you know, the prayers of the saints, the oozing out of God's love. So Paul is just, you know, saying, I constantly remember you in my prayer day and night. Recall your tears so that I may be filled with joy. I'm mindful of your sincere faith within you, which first dwell in your grandma, Louis, and then your mother, Eunice, and I'm sure that is in you as well. And for this reason, I remind you to kindle fresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but love, but power, love, and discipline. And then he said, therefore, what I just said, no, I want to remind you, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or me, his prisoner, but join me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. So Paul used a four-time shame word. The word shame used four times. Two times he reminding him to suffer for him. And two times he said, do not be, afraid to stand up, to speak up, to share what God has given to you. What is the purpose that, being called? So it's a beautiful thing to see in the life of Paul. And then he goes back into this wonderful mood, explaining, telling him, suffer shamelessly for sake of Christ. Chapter 1, verse 8 to 12. And then chapter 1, 13 to 18, he's reminding him again, spiritually loyal to your king. Spiritually loyal to your king. And then this is what he's telling him. Verse 12, he says, for this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convicted that he is able to guard what I have entrusted in him. Jesus Christ is a good guardian. He's a good guardian what he have entrusted in us. He's a faithful God. Until that day. And then verse 13 he said, retain the standards of sound word which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. So this is his third in Christ Jesus reminding him. Keep the word. Keep the banner. Keep going. Keep spreading. Do not, step back. I was reading somewhere in the dictionary of discipleship, there's no retreat. In the dictionary of discipleship, there's no retreat. It's always marching forward. That is Paul is trying to put in his mind and soul as he probably going through some physical illness, because he talked about, for your wellness, take some wine. Some theologian says probably he was, physically ill. That's why Paul is reminding him not to be ashamed for your weaknesses, because Paul himself did not find any shame in his own weaknesses. And he was bold. He said, and I'm weak, I'm strong. So, and then he says again, guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure that has been entrusted in you. You are aware of the fact that all who were in Asia turn away from me, among who is Polybius, right? Yeah, those big names. So those two people, So anyways, and he's reminding him the things that is interested in you. So God saving us and depositing his love, his spirit, his everything. And then he said, these things I'm entrusting in you. Go and do the job. So that's roughly chapter 1. A child of God that can delight in the divine welfare. Oftentimes we forget that. It's a great reminder. Great reminder to remember who we are, what we have in a time of desperation, in time of hopelessness, when everybody leave, Christ remained the same. I remember another good story to throw in this contest. There was a word out, they want to take several pastors out, and I was one of them in their list. So I called Gene again. It's a good escape road to call Gene. So I said, you know, I need to call him and find out what did he say. Because I got the second letter, I told my wife, and she said, you know, if it's not safe, you need to leave. Let me know when you want to purchase your ticket. I said, okay, let me talk to Gene. And we emailed, and he wrote back, he said, you know, you and the Spirit of God, you are your own. Make decision, because that is your own decision. That's the best thing, the best counseling I will do. Like somebody asked me, they said, you know, will you counsel us? I say, sure. Before you do anything bad, just call me. They were asking for marriage counseling. I said, you know, before you do anything stupid, just call me and I will tell you don't do it. That's the counseling. So Gene said, you know, you are your own with the Holy Spirit. Do whatever you want to do. And guess what? God is awesome. Somehow the YouTube was working in Pakistan. I end up on a YouTube channel looking at that little video of Braveheart. Braveheart, Mel Gibson is in the cell, just like Paul, and is a reminder to me he's praying before he's going to be butchered and not to, you know, give up what he believed. Even his princess is telling her, just take this to numbness and just denounce. He said, what I am and who I am, if I do that, I'm already dead. I will not deny. So he's in the cell and he's praying. He said, Lord, give me strength to finish well. And that become my inspiration. And I said, I got the answer. So I, instead of running away, thinking if I run and my sheep will be slaughtered, another chapter passage came to my mind from John chapter 3. And I said, I do not want to do that. I will never live up to that guilt and reminded constantly when I need to be standing to defend my sheep, I run away. So I stayed for 6 more weeks. They got the other pastor, shot him countless times through his vehicle and brutally killed him and left the posters that we did it. But thank God, in that time, I stayed, nothing touched me. I was like invisible, because you can trust in God. To stand firm. And actually a lot of great things happened. And I'm not going to tell you the story. I was in a dance party, but now I started, so I'll have to tell you. That dance party was only for the male dance party. It was not the bad dance. It was the competition. And I used to be a dancer. I was known in Pakistan for many different cities. So they called me, they said, oh, you are in the country. Will you come to be our judge, to judge and determine who win and who lose? I said, sure. So I went and they asked me a wrong question. They said, can you tell us what is going on in the USA? I said, it's December, so houses are light up. A lot of places have a snow. People are preparing to share gifts and this and that. And it is the birth of Christ. They said, it's a Christmas season. They said, oh, what is Christmas? I said, I'm glad you asked. So they gave me the speaker before the dance party starts. So I start telling them, I said, Christmas is the birth of Christ. Okay, birth of Christ. And I said, you know, it's just like in the Quran says, you know, Moses led multitude people out of Egypt for their physical freedom. They said, yeah. I said, the same way God sent from heaven his son to let the people to be out of the sin market of slavery. And he born that day, so all Christians are celebrating. And if you want to believe him, you know, it's very simple, because God so loved the world, he gave his son, that is the birth of Christ, that whoever believes shall not perish. So you don't have to go to dozak. That's the Urdu word or Arabic word for, you know, hell. So I said, you don't have to go to dozak. You can go to Firdaus, which is a paradise in the presence of Christ. And many hands went up. So the dance party turned into a, you know, convergenism. And many things, you know, converged from that day. And I said, wow, I'm glad I didn't leave. So anyways, so I do not want to leave, you know, the bad mind. I was in a dance party, so that can, you know, define so many ways. Ooh, dance party without clothes or with clothes, you know? So now you have the truth. So anyways, I think my time's up. I think I got 3 minutes. So I think I will close the first chapter. So he's talking about the welfare. I want to remind us, never forget the welfare. The welfare of God that is available for us through His Word, through His Spirit, through the body of Christ. And the beauty, no matter where you are, never give up. God never gives up on us, and that is the lesson. His people should not. No matter what. No matter what. And that is a picture of marriage. In these days in America, the rate is of, you know, horrible marriages. Have to play, you know, with, you know, something going on, but I'm not going to accuse anybody, but, you know, when we look at the scripture, God never gives up. Never give up on His children. So Timothy, and sometimes we do that. So, if people hurt people, cling on to God. Because without test, there's no testimony. Without sickness, there's no healing. Without crucifixion, there's no resurrection. Without saviors, there's no saving. Without going, there's no preaching. Without sending, there is no going. So, test turned to testimony, sickness turned to healing, and pain turned to pleasure, and misery turned to a message. So let God be the big daddy. So, I think that's my hour, and thank you very much for listening, and let's pray. Father, thank you so much for everything that you are doing through Paul, that's written many, many centuries ago, for encouragement, for delightment for Timothy to hear from his teacher, from his spiritual father. So Father, thank you for the Spirit of God to reveal, to remind us, never forget when we go for the warfare, God will take care of the welfare. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.